Welcome back to my class lecture 2. This is Dr. Mok. Let me make sure again. You have to have lecture note to understand my lecture. Without it, you will not able to finish this course successfully. So please print it out and download from school website or my email sent earlier. Nehemiah chapter 5 teach us on the management and the plan for finance. To obtain necessary fund is the essential duty the leader is not able to avoid. Without the money, nothing can be done. With reasonable cash flow, any plan that is wise, faithful, intelligent, and realistic can become a reality. Even Jesus said the following about the importance of financial planning. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30 says, suppose one of you want to build a tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who see it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Nehemiah tells us about the financial problem and his solution he had in chapter 5. There was a strike among the laborers working on the rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They did not picket in front of a supermarket and interfered with traffic, but they stopped working and started complaining. Verse 1 says, now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. As all great leaders do, Nehemiah listened to their complaint, and he doubted about what is a financial problem. There are three reasons. One, starvation. Due to not enough food in drought. Second, excessive taxation. The tax authorities were imposing even more to the people for their individual gains. Third, children were being sold as slaves because of unreasonable high interest rate. After look around these situations, and when he heard their cries, he got angry. You must show sympathy sometime, but not always. It is to say that anger can sometimes be the best response. Let's look at how Nehemiah responded to the laborer who stopped working in complaint. Verse 6 says, when I heard their outcry and discharges, I was very angry. Why did he get angry when he heard their cries? Should he not be showing any sympathy toward the people? Nehemiah was angry because the people forget about the law of Moses. Laws of Moses. You must read scripture as mentioned. Exodus chapter 22 and Deuteronomy chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 25. Okay, please read through this one after finished the class. Okay, well, Nehemiah was angry because the people knew what they must do, but they neglected to abide by it. It was natural he got angry. It was righteous anger. Righteous anger. If you are comfortable with God's plan is being ridiculed and ignored, then there is something wrong with you. If you feel okay with people being verbally abusive and living immorally and ignoring direct advice of the Bible, then there is something wrong with you. Let's look at verse 7. I pondered then in my mind, and then accused the noble and officials. This is overcoming the problem. I told them, you are charging usury from your own countrymen. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them. Why did he speak to the ruling class? They were the wealthy and they were the one plundering from the poor. They were the source of oppression. Oppression, O-P-P-R-E-S-S-I-O-N, oppression. We must focus on the fact Nehemiah went to the source of the problem after God angry. He gathered these people and listed the thing they did. He pointed out three things. First, it is not righteous to charge interest when lending money to the fellow Jews. Second, it is not righteous to enslave your fellow Jews. Third, this is not right either. You are not any different from the Gentiles. What did they do when Nehemiah reprimanded the ruling class? Verse 8 say, they kept quiet. It was a response when they realized they're wrong. They realized they're wrong. But the great leader do not stop. Great leader do not stop at rebuke. Nehemiah suggested a certain measure to correct this situation. Take your hand off the sin. Okay? Rest the ejecting of usury stop. Next, establish specific plan to resolve the problem as soon as possible. Nehemiah said to the creditor, give back to them immediately their field, vineyard oil, proverb, and house, and also the usury you are charging, then the 100th part of the money, grain, new wine, and oil. He wanted to take care of a problem of finances as soon as possible. Next, this plan for correction is to be made in the front of covenant in front of covenant with God, I summoned the priest and made the noble and official take an oath to do what they had promised. When they make it officially, it is the most effective. Next, understand the seriousness of your oath to God. Let's read all together chapter 5, verse 13. Okay? I also shook out the hold of my robe and said, in this way may God shake out of his house and possession every man who does not keep this promise. So may such a man be shaken out and emptied. At this whole assembly said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Amen. And the people did as they had promised. Amen. Amen. When the Jews understood the word of God, they were able to praise the Lord. Shalom came to them as a result of God's grace and Nehemiah leadership. There is not a single mention of rebuilding the wall in Nehemiah chapter 5, 1, verse 1 through 13. This is because the work had stopped. The work had stopped. No one could rebuild during the spiritual battle. It seems like a spontaneity caused by famine, starvation, and finances, but it was a spiritual warfare. We must look at this as the spiritual victory rather than overcoming financial woe. And then, I would like to handle the topic of crisis and prosperity. Thomas Carlyle said, crisis is the difficult opponent to overcome for any human. But if there are 100 who can endure through crisis, there is only one who can endure through prosperity. We remember Asaph's poem that is shown in Psalm 75. Do not lift your horn against heaven. Do not speak with outstretched neck. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man. But it is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. Don't be arrogant. Remember that your success did not come from you. It came from God and his sovereign hand. You are just a recipient of God's mercy. God took Joseph out of Egyptian prison and made him the prime minister of Egypt. God took Daniel, who was in the infantry in Babylon, and made him the king's right-hand man in one night. God knew that Joseph and Daniel were able to handle certain crises and prosperity. Nehemiah was the same way. Nehemiah shows the biblical attitude toward the promotion. He was the same in good time and bad time because he was a capable leader. Verse 14 says, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, neither I nor my brother ate the food allotted to be governor. In other words, he was a purity leader. Purity leader, P-U-R-I-T-Y, pretty leader. When he promoted, there were four changes caused. All four changes are shown chapter 5, verse 14 through 18. First, promotion accompanied privilege. He never used his privilege for food as the governor for his private purpose. He was given food to carry out his official duties as governor, but he never used it for the personal reasons. Despite the fact that he could take as much food as he could, he never lost control. The private life of a leader is always under attack by Satan, S-A-T-A-N, Satan. Those who promoted have always been given more private freedom, and they end up corrupting themselves in this freedom. Promotion always brings privilege, but Nehemiah should never be abused. Second, promotion threatened one's belief system. Promotion threatened one's belief system. Verse 15 talk about three sins the previous governor committed. First was that they pressed a heavy burden on the people, meaning excessive taxation. Second, they took bribes. Third, they promoted their assistants to high places. When promoted, you must not only handle your privilege, but you must also face with the pressure of previous policies. Nehemiah did not follow the old policies. The answer is in the latter part of verse 15, say, I did not act like that. We can see his moral purity from this statement. Moral purity from this statement. I don't know what they did previously, but I am not going to tolerate unreasonable policies. Third, promotion comes with plan and mission. Plan and missions. Verse 17 to 18 says, furthermore, 150 Jews and official at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations, every day one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days an abundant supply of wine of all kind. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted the governor because the demand were heavy on these people. He fed thousands of people every month. Like this, Nehemiah was a well-known person. He was a politician of great stature and was very popular among the people. High officials were often invited over to his dinner table, but he never lost his sight on the plan or the responsibility. He did not lose sight of what he needed to do. As we see, 1 Kings chapter 10, Solomon was not as successful in this regard. He becomes the wealthiest person in history. According to Bible, 1 Kings 10, chapter 10, silver was as common as a rock in Jerusalem during his reign. But he was not able to manage his responsibility, the prosperity. He lost sight of what was really important and urgent. Frederick Oates wrote Book of Abraham to the Middle East crisis. Let's listen to the analysis of this tragedy. Solomon's glasses were all made of gold, and so was his furniture. The shield used by his bodyguard was made of gold, and his throne was decorated with gold and ivory. Solomon moved too fast and too far ahead, like other absolute rulers. He ultimately became corrupted and ended up ineffective. Why did he go that far? He was not able to manage his prosperity and forgot about his rule and missions. First, promotion influence those who around you. Those who around you, your promotion influence those who is around you. Nehemiah's prosperity influenced the lives of others. You know, to lead is to focus on human. Strong leaders often make the mistake of abusing others in pursuit of their goal. But Nehemiah was sensitive to the demand and the need of the people. Nehemiah saw that the people were burdened by excessive tax and say, let's not go too fast. Let's take one problem at a time and go together. We know the work of rebuilding wall of Jerusalem is the great thing, but they finished in 52 days. One leader, Sandra's spiritual leader, said, the proof of our strength is not in where we are further ahead than anyone else, but in our ability to work together, with our brothers. How was he able to work so successful? Verse 15 says, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Amen. Why didn't Nehemiah follow the previous? Why didn't Nehemiah follow the previous policies? It was because his relationship with the Lord was so strong and firm. Nehemiah was able to say, no matter how much I make, how privileged I am, and how deeply these formal policies have taken their root in our society, I cannot do things like that. The trust in my Lord is the only thing I live by. Amen. Let's listen to Nehemiah's confession. Let's read all together, verse 19, okay? Remember me with favor, O my God, for all I have done for these people. Remember what I did for my people and bless me. He believed it with all his heart. Hallelujah. It is painful. It is painful to go downhill, but it is even more difficult to handle prosperity well. Crises make us depend on God and wait for Him to intervene. We also lean on His strong arm to receive strength to go on. Prosperity can cause a lot of difficult problems. Vain pride, temptation to abuse, abuse privilege, battle against the previous policies, tendencies to overlook things of utmost importance, and tendencies to abuse those who below you. Let's remember the word, only one of 100 can win the test of prosperity. How about you? Okay. Let's go to topic, handling threat, conspiracy, and bad rumor. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. Sambarat and Gesem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were ashamed to harm me, so I sent a messenger to them with this reply. I am carrying on the great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Nehemiah is not the guy who gets scared easy. In verse 5, Nehemiah encountered yet another conspiracy. Then the fifth time, Sambarat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter. Until the fourth time, it was a personal invitation. Now it was an unsealed letter. What does this mean? It is no longer was a personal letter. The messenger brought the letter and showed it to everyone. We can pay attention to the threatening word in the letter. This was basically saying, first, when you came to Jerusalem, you had in your heart an evil purpose that was not to reveal the world, but it was to bring people together to revolt. Second, your ways are wicked. In your endeavor to become the king, you sent the prophets all over the place and had them proclaim, our king will be Nehemiah, not Artaxerxes. So we will let the king know about this. So you should really consider meeting with us at Ono. Verse 6 say, it is reported among the nation, according to this report, you are about to become their king. The Gentiles are hearing this rumor about your ambition to become the king. But Nehemiah says, you are just making it up out of your head. Leader must never be shaken by the rumor. Never be shaken by the rumor. Verse 9 says, They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I pray, now strengthen our hand. Everyone get hurt by rumor at some point or the other. But leader must pick them up and draw them out in order to keep moving forward. The purpose of the letter sent to Nehemiah was to spread dirty rumor, conspiracy, and threat. Verse 9 say again, they were all trying to frighten me, frighten us, but Nehemiah never cowered. And we can see Shemaiah prot. Verse 10, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Delaiah, the son of Medatavel, who was shut in at his home. He said, let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple door, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. This was a scary thing to hear. Shemaiah says, Nehemiah, there are people coming at you to kill. I want to get together and pray in the temple. How pious of him to say this. He wanted to pray about this together, but all that was conspiracy. Nehemiah, the leader, was able to see his true intention and said, verse 11 to 12, but I said, should a man like me run away, or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. He could not have explained better. Verse 12 say again, I realized God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. You must remember Sanballat, Tobiah, okay? Nehemiah, the leader who was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, was so strong. They want to frighten him, spread bad rumor, conspiracy against him in the name of prayer to lock him up in the temple, but he never wavered. Verse 13 says, he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit the sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. But Nehemiah has overcome their threat, bad rumor, conspiracy, plot, and finally completed the great work of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 15. What happened there? So the war was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. Nehemiah was under constant attack of threat, conspiracy, and rumors, but he finally completed the war. Verse 16 says, when all our enemy heard about this, all our surrounding nation were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Amen, amen. Under constant attack by his enemy and the endless rumor, plot, conspiracy, the world was finally completed. This is very important to today's reader, as it is impossible even today to do God's work, to work the path of faith, and to rebuild the world. God used three ferocious attacks to train Nehemiah. One, a hurler, two, a publicler, attacked his motivation and character. Three, warming that threatened him. But nothing worked, and the war continued to be rebuilt. Because Nehemiah and his follower were in the will of God, they could never be conquered. The book of Nehemiah is the letter from God that tells all the leaders and all the people of God not to be discouraged and to stand firm. It tells us how to win. Winston Churchill's speech at the Harrow School, never give up, never give up. Even if your reputation and good principle are on the line, never give up. If you are sure that you are within the will of God, hallelujah. Next subject is leader's priority. Leader must know what is important and urgent. Billy Graham says, there are two things that are the most difficult to teach people. It is to think and to prioritize. These two principles determine your effectiveness as the leader. We know that Nehemiah thought things through before taking action and knew what was important and urgent. As you remember, Nehemiah did not take the people to Jerusalem and had them start rebuilding the wall of right away. He thought about this for 4 months. Four months. And thought about this before discussing with other people. He contemplated on this matter before God. Then he went into the city and started the rebuilding process. When faced with the opposition, he did not fight back right away. He contemplated his next move. He spent a lot more time thinking about what the best course of action would do. Thinking is difficult. It is always more difficult to divorce the plan than to act on it. Leader who start running without careful planning are bound to fail, and they will hurt this around him. Leader who start running without careful planning are bound to fail, and they will hurt those around them. Second, thinking include prayer and silence. We often saw Nehemiah kneeling down in prayer. he prayed about the important matter, we also saw him thinking silently and deeply about this plan. Rushed and spontaneous decision always come with the last minute changes, and anger follows as they become concerned about possible impact on themselves. Third, thinking brings planning. Thinking brings planning. Leaders are able to see the plan as the whole when they take care. They take a step back and think about it. Leaders are able to see the plan as the whole when they take a step back and think about it. They can come up with contingency plan. Jesus spoke of the wisdom to think first. And to plan later. You remember Luke chapter 14, 28. Suppose one of you want to build the tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? In order to be a respected leader, you must first become a thinking man. In order to be a respected leader, you must first become a thinking man. Then how to make priority? Okay, see your lecture note from the page, maybe page 11 to 13, I don't know. Anyway, please check. This one is for your self-study. So you can review and you can read through carefully for understanding this topic. Okay, let's go to another topic. Let me see. By the way, you can see the group discussion. Am I not wasting my time? Am I getting the help in area I need help? How am I spending my time? Do I have a diary schedule set? So and so. Anyway, you must read this page, and then skip. Next topic. Keep your priority. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38 through chapter 10, verse 18. What did Nehemiah do to keep his priority straight? We can see what he did in Nehemiah chapter 9. He set the priority of work and put that in writing. Verse 38 says, in view of all this, were making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leader, our levitus, and our priest are affixing their seals on it. The document had the name of everyone who signed it. It was to make everyone aware of the importance of this document. It is very important to set your priorities straight. But there are not many who actually do that. Nehemiah's follower prayed like this: Lord, I don't want this to be just a bunch of meaningless words. We want this to be a promise that can never be taken back. We confess our promise to you and we'll sign off on it to prove our intention to keep this promise. So Nehemiah chapter 10 has a few simple but life-changing principles. First, deliberate consideration preceded an important change. Don't expect any changes in your life without a careful consideration. Second, plan that's documented confirm the priority of a task. If you want to set your priorities straight, make sure you write them down. Make sure you write them down. It would suggest you writing a diary. I would suggest you writing a diary. Are you writing a diary? I would suggest you writing a diary. Okay, if you have certain doubt in your head, it is necessary to write them down. I learned that notes can untangle and smooth out my doubt. Okay, please read through Nehemiah chapter 9 and 10 after this lecture finished, because the final exam will be come out from here, chapter 9 and 10. Then let's look at topic our handling problem after success. Handling problem after success. Upon his return, Nehemiah found Tobiah. Do you remember Tobiah? Yes. Nehemiah found Tobiah residing in the court of the house of God. You know the Tobiah, okay? Tobiah interfered with Nehemiah's effort to rebuild the wall and was persistent with his criticism and personal attack against Nehemiah. Nehemiah didn't say, let's have a meeting to discuss, or let's pray about it. He was enraged immediately and drew out all of Tobiah's possession and ordered the temple of God to be cleaned. This is the righteous anger by the reader. Lead of God should never compromise when it comes to truth and righteousness. Nehemiah did not tolerate evil. He choked the life out of it. Do you remember of Jesus' anger? Let me remind you again. John chapter 2, verse 14 to through. Who can read this scripture for class? Okay, thank you. The second problem he faced was the fact the Levites working in the temple were not getting paid because people had not been giving their tithe. Nehemiah again did not suggest having a meeting or praying about it. He rebuked the officials for not doing their job. Third was about keeping the Sabbath holy. There were merchants coming into the Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Nehemiah was greatly disappointed about this and rebuked the noble of Judah about how they had been desecrating the Sabbath day. Then he locked the gate on the Sabbath and warned the merchant with threat of arrest unless they stopped selling merchandise on the Sabbath. This is something he did not hesitate to do. He did it right away. If a spiritual leader does not become outraged by injustice and God's name being insulted, then he/she is not a good chosen leader. Nehemiah did all he could. Then he kneeled down before God and prayed, "Oh, God, bless all this effort. Allow me more wisdom and guidance. Remember me for everything I have done to resolve this problem. I am standing here alone, and may all glory be to you. Amen. Amen." He fought hard for righteousness as the leader, but he never lost his self-taught for the Lord. He was a leader of honesty, conviction, and commitment. Nehemiah started rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem with a prayer, and he ended it with a prayer. The confession he makes in the very last verse of our last chapter, 13:34, is, remember me with favor, O my Lord. Amen. Amen. What about you? Okay, let me give assignment and group discussion. One, when you start the ministry as a leader, how well do you plan and manage the financial aspect of it? What did Nehemiah do after rebuking the official for mismanaging the finance? Would you do the same? How do you handle crisis and prosperity? What's harder to manage? What is harder to manage? How would you rate honesty as the virtue of a leader? as a virtue of a leader. Next, how do you handle negative around you? How do you handle negativity around you? For example, threat, criticism, rumor, plot, etc. What do you do when you complete your mission as planned? What do you do when you complete your mission as planned? How do you prioritize? How do you prioritize the thing you need to do? Have you ever been in an instant Your time was wasted because you didn't set your priorities straight. What are your doubt and righteous anger of a leader? And were you ever angry for the righteous reason? If so, when? What? Next, what is the leader quality of Nehemiah you want to emulate the most and why? You can submit paper 2 to 3 pages. Okay, what is the leader quality of Nehemiah you want to emulate the most and why? Last, how am I spending my time? Do I have a diary schedule set? Okay, this is important. If not, please have a diary schedule set. For your self-study, I gave lot of material that I did not teach in this lecture due to time limit of recording, and it's not easy to send a big size of audio or video file. So please read all intentionally to get a good grade of a final exam. In order for you to submit this assignment, it may be take time at least 5 hours. Therefore, prepare it from now on without moving to somewhere to the something. Okay, thank you for listening my lecture, even though not so good circumstance atmosphere, because this is not a person lecture. Okay, okay. God bless you. God bless you. See you next lecture. Okay. Thank you. Bye.